Chapter 7. Even though we'd just freed two more dragons, the weight of the glowing amulet against my chest was all I could think about as I stepped through Bla's portal and into the woods behind Odin's castle in Asgard. The girls and I quickly made our way around to the front of the castle and into the council chambers. The two guards didn't move a muscle as we stormed through the doors, but once we were inside, I was shocked to see there were no council members present.
Where are they?
Breyna has to be here somewhere. Let's check her chambers.
Yeah, good idea. I nodded and led the girls down the hallway where the council members had their offices. The door to Breyna's chambers was slightly ajar, and the beautiful blonde sorceress was inside, sitting behind a large wooden desk with her head in her hands. Breyna, I said as I pushed the door open and stepped in.
Oh, Rav!
She gasped, and she looked up and dropped her amulet so it bounced off her ample breasts before it settled against her.
Thank you for coming so quickly. I hope I didn't interrupt anything important.
No, not at all. I shook my head as I walked over and stood in front of the desk. What's going on?
Well, I have news about the man with the egg.
The blonde council member pursed her lips as she looked at the girls and me seriously.
What did you find out? I was able to track where he came from, finally. It was just as you suspected.
He came from Alfheim.
He did.
Breyna nodded.
Why would he try to hide that? Everyone knows the dragon trade is rampant there. I was wondering the same thing.
Breyna said, and she pursed her lips again.
Maybe he wasn't trying to cover it up this specific time.
Right. I nodded. Maybe he's been covering it up whenever he travels.
You mean he's tricking the Bifrost, or at least whoever's running it that day? Why would he do that?
The Bifrost is well guarded, and records are kept of where citizens go.
What are you two saying?
Breyna asked, and her light brown eyes narrowed on me. That the man could be a dragon trader. The dragon trade could be in Asgard. Everyone was quiet for a second as they took in my words, and then Breyna closed her eyes and brought her hand up to her chest.
I can't believe I didn't think of that before,
the blonde sorceress said with a shake of her head.
You're absolutely right. I guess that would make sense. And if they have magic, they could be disguising the dragons or the eggs just like I do. If that's true, they could be right in front of us and we'd never know.
Asta frowned.
I'll be sure to be extremely attentive to spells around me. I often can't feel exactly what they are, but I know when magic is near.
I think that's a good idea. I'll have Kaz and Asta do the same.
If he's dealing dragons in Asgard, he probably has a dealer in Alfheim. I doubt he's been going there and stealing dragons on his own.
You're right. And even if that is the case, there's no doubt he'd at least know about other dragon dealers in the area. Or they'd know about him.
Yeah, a small-time dealer like that would definitely catch the attention of the larger groups around.
Ira nodded and then turned to Breyna.
Can you tell where in Alfheim he came from? I'm afraid not.
Breyna shook her head.
I'm quite powerful, but that appears to be beyond my capabilities. What about Rhaemir? Asta?
Kaas hissed, and she nudged the white-haired elf girl.
Oh, what was that for? Surely you aren't suggesting my father is more powerful than the castle sorceress?
Kaas said, and she turned to Breyna.
I'm so sorry.
Kaas had the utmost respect for the council members, and I had to stifle a laugh at her chastising Asta for suggesting we go see her father.
Don't be. If anyone's more powerful than I am, it is probably your father. The man is twice my age with double my experience. He was even offered the job of castle sorcerer before you were born. He declined, of course, something about how he didn't like to follow orders and we could go fuck ourselves. Yeah, that sounds like my father.
Kaas nodded, and then her eyebrows pulled together.
I can't believe he never told me about that. You probably weren't even thought of when this happened.
Breyna smiled.
He's everyone's favorite grouch. Even Odin has a soft spot for him.
So, should we go see Rhaemir?
Yeah, I think we should. I nodded. He may be able to help us.
I'd like to come, if that's all right with you.
Breyna said, and she stood up from her seat behind the desk. Of course. You're welcome to join us any time.
I appreciate that. I can have a carriage come around to take us there.
Do you think that would draw too much attention to us? I'm sure it's not every day you ride around town with a carriage full of citizens for no apparent reason. The last thing I wanted to do was alert Odin of how the council was working with me to free the dragons.
I suppose you're right.
Breyna nodded.
Perhaps it will be better if we walk. Can't Bla make us a portal? That way nobody has to see us leave at all.
Oh, good idea. I grinned at the white-haired elf girl and then turned to the little dragon on my shoulder. What do you say? Can you make us a portal to Ramir's? Blah rolled his eyes and nodded. This would be the third portal he'd made in the last hour, and I couldn't blame him for being a little annoyed. Things like this were time-sensitive, though, so it was better if we didn't have to walk several miles across town to Ramir's.
Oh, it's been quite a while since I've travelled through a portal.
Brayna chuckled as she made her way around the desk.
Let's see if I recall how to do this. You just step through.
Asta said, and she cocked her head to the side and smiled sweetly.
Right.
Brayna stifled a laugh at the elf girl's naivety of her joke. Blah? I asked. The little blue dragon huffed, but then he stood up on my shoulder and closed his eyes. After a few seconds, a small portal appeared. It grew to the correct size, but I noticed it took him a little bit longer than usual to get there, and I figured having to create so many portals today was probably wearing him out. It was good practice for his ability, but I knew it was taking a lot of energy, and I was probably going to have to make him a pumpkin pie later to make up for it. We all gripped hands and stepped through the portal onto the street just a few hundred yards away from Ramir's shop. Thanks, I told Blah, and I reached up to scratch under his chin. The little dragon let out a small sigh and then laid his head down on my shoulder. His body was growing heavy, though, and it felt like he could barely hold on to my hip, so I pulled his back legs up and tossed them over my other shoulder.
Someone's tired, huh?
Gus chuckled and scratched between Blah's horns.
We've asked a lot from him today.
Yeah, we have. He's pretty wiped.
Once we get to Father's, you can let him sleep on the couch.
I'm sure he'll like that. It didn't take long for us to get to Ramir's, and as always, the bell chimed as we entered the shop.
Father, we're back.
Ah, Caspier,
Ramir said, and he came out from behind a nearby bookshelf.
Good to see you. What is this?
What?
Cass asked, and she looked around in a panic.
What have you done to poor Blah?
Ramir asked, and he reached up to pet the little blue dragon slung over my shoulders. Blah batted his eyes pitifully and let out a deep sigh.
Oh, he's fine. He's just tired. Oh, he needs something to eat, I'm sure. Come on. I'll make you all some food. I worry about you eating when you're out running around. Oh, and Prana. Good to see you again.
I wasn't even sure he knew I was here.
The blonde sorceress laughed as we followed Ramir to the back. Things don't get by Ramir that easily, I told her with a grin.
So, I presume there's something else you need?
Ramir said as we entered his large study. Blah hopped down from my shoulders and walked over to the large sofa by the roaring fireplace. Then he hopped up onto the piece of furniture, sprawled out on his back, and immediately started snoring. Inga flew over to him and curled up on the opposite side of the couch, while Ufe walked slowly to the fireplace and laid down in front of it. I heard a small squeak, and I looked over to see Svas stand up and lean forward on Ira's shoulder. The little yellow dragon looked at Blah, Inga, and Ufe, and then turned back to Ira, as if to ask permission.
Go ahead.
Ira chuckled and gestured to the room.
Find a place to sit.
Svas looked back and forth between Ira and the dragons for a few more seconds, but then she ran down Ira's body and scurried over to Ufe. She circled around him once before she laid by his front feet and put her head on his neck. Ufe opened one eye to glance back at her, smiled and then closed his eyes and let out a little sigh.
Yes, I said, and I shook my head and turned back to Ramir. There is something we need.
Yes?
The man asked as he sorted through a basket of vegetables.
A man recently tried to bring an egg into Asgard.
Prana said when she saw me pause. I wasn't sure how much it was okay to reveal to Ramir in front of the council member, so I was glad she decided to speak up.
And by egg, I assume you mean one that didn't come from a chicken?
The old man said, and he turned around to flash us a quick glance before going back to choosing vegetables for dinner. That's right, I nodded.
Prena was able to find out the man came from Alfheim, but she doesn't know where in the realm he came from.
Mm-hmm. I see,
Ramir said as he turned a squash over in his hands.
Father, can't you figure out where exactly the man was traveling from?
Kaas asked, and her voice was high-pitched with an urgency that starkly contrasted Ramir's calm demeanor.
There's no need to yell, Caspir. I'd be happy to help.
You would?
Kaas asked, and she turned to me with round violet eyes. You can figure out where he came from?
Of course!
Ramir shrugged.
I'll just need something with his essence on it. The spell won't take too long. But don't think you're going anywhere before this dinner is ready. It's nearly dark anyway, and you all need some sleep.
Father, we're fully grown adults,
Kaas said, and she crossed her arms defiantly.
Huh? Maybe so. But you're my daughter, and it's my fatherly duty to feed you, so you're staying for dinner.
The last bit was said with more sternness than I'd ever heard in Ramir's voice, and Kaas immediately uncrossed her arms, muttered,
"Yes, father,"
and leaned back against the wall. Yeah, we'll stay for dinner, I said. Ramir was right. It would be better to travel tomorrow when we were all rested and the day was new. But can you do the spell tonight?
Of course,
he said with a smile.
Just give me whatever object it is, and I'll get started as soon as the stew's on.
Prena, I turned to the council member. Did you bring anything with you? Or do we need to go back to the castle? The blonde sorceress pulled her bottom lip between her teeth.
What is it? What's wrong? The man. We burned him.
What? It was to make sure no one else found out about him. I didn't realize we would need an object of his at the time. I'm so sorry.
It's not your fault, I told her, and I placed my hand on her shoulder. You were only doing what you thought was right.
Can you do the spell without something of his?
Kaas asked her father.
No, I'm afraid not.
Ramir closed his eyes and shook his head.
I must have his essence. Anything of his footwork, his essence simply must be on it, though.
Was nothing of his saved? Nothing he touched? No.
Prena shook her head.
He was dead before I ever arrived, and my guards disposed of the body. Shite!
The redhead breathed, and she turned to me.
What do we do? Wait! What about the egg? The egg?
Prena asked, and her blonde eyebrows pulled together before a look of realization dawned on her face.
Oh, the egg!
Would that work? I asked Ramir.
Well, as long as his essence is on it, I see no reason why it wouldn't.
Can you get the egg?
Kaas asked with a wide grin.
I most certainly can.
Prena answered with a grin of her own.
I simply need to run to the castle.
It's getting dark out. I don't want you going alone.
I appreciate that. But as you said before, we don't want to raise suspicion.
Oh, yes, no, I suppose we don't. I said, and I pursed my lips.
It will take you so long to get there and back, though.
Kaas frowned. Blas sighed, got off the couch, and walked over to Prena.
Are you volunteering to be my escort?
Prena asked the little blue dragon. Blas closed his eyes, and a portal appeared in front of us.
I suppose that's a yes.
Prena chuckled and turned to me.
Rath, do you mind?
No, not at all. I smiled and stroked under Blah's chin. Thanks, buddy. Blah nodded and then flew up to land on Prena's shoulder.
We'll be back soon,
the councilwoman said, and she stepped through the portal and disappeared.
That was quite nice of Blah,
Kaas said after the two had gone. Yes, it was. I agreed. The little dragon had an attitude a lot of the time, but he was still generally sweet, and I knew he liked Prena, so I wasn't surprised he'd offered to take her back to the castle. The two of them would probably have to walk a small distance, but nothing compared to how far Prena would have needed to walk from Ramir's shop. There was no way I was going to allow her to make that trip on her own, even if I needed to wait outside the castle for her. It was nearly night, and I doubted the sorceress had been out in the city at night very often. While Asgard was generally a safe place, there were some assholes who perused the bars at night and made fools of themselves, and I wouldn't want her to run into any ruffians without me by her side. Granted, she was a master sorceress, and I had no doubt she could handle herself in battle. However, I would never want to take that risk. No, I refused to risk that with any of my women. I was sure they could all take care of themselves, but I would never leave them alone long enough to put the theory to the test.
"I don't do this magic stuff for free,"
Ramir said suddenly, and we all looked over to where he stood at the table with a large cutting board and an assortment of vegetables.
"Come, cut some vegetables for me."
"Of course. We'll help however we can."
"I appreciate it,"
the old man said with a smile.
"Ah, these old bones aren't what they used to be."
"Oh, father,"
Gas said, as she picked up a knife and some small onions to chop.
"Prayna said you were offered a position at the castle long ago."
"Oh, yes, I'd nearly forgotten about that. I'm surprised she remembers. She was very young at the time."
"You must have felt quite honored."
"I suppose I did."
Ramir smiled, and the skin around his eyes crinkled with delight.
"Ah, Prayna has made a lovely sorceress, though they were right to train her for the job."
"Yes, she's very talented."
Asta nodded. I smiled to myself as I cut up some squash and put it into the pot Ramir had prepared. I had no idea what the old man was making, based on the ingredients on the table, but he was a great cook, so I wasn't about to question him on the recipe. I did have one other question for him, though. Ramir, I'm wondering something."
"Yes?"
the old man asked, and he raised a big bushy eyebrow at me.
"How are you such an excellent cook, but Kaz has to put spells on her food?"
"Hey, what's that supposed to mean? I think wrath means it's odd you can't cook, considering how well your father is able to cook,"
Asta explained in her sweet, high-pitched voice.
"Thank you, Asta. You're welcome."
The white-haired elf girl smiled and shrugged.
"Oh, I'm not sure I have a good answer for that. I've often wondered the same thing."
"Father!"
"It's true, dear,"
Ramir smiled.
"If you had to cook in order for us to eat, we'd all starve."
"I manage just fine, thank you."
"Her last meal was wonderful," I grinned.
"You mean her last spell,"
Ramir said with a point in my direction. Ramir, Ira, and I shared a laugh, but Kaz just glared at me, and Asta blinked in confusion.
"In all honesty, I think it's her talent for sorcery that gets in the way of her cooking."
"What?"
Kaz asked with a frown.
"You never told me that."
"You never asked,"
Ramir shrugged.
"How does her talent get in the way?"
Asta inquired as she chopped some garlic into tiny bits.
"Wouldn't it be the opposite?" "Yeah, it seems like talent could only help."
You might think so,"
Ramir nodded.
"But sorcery is very precise. A sorceress needs all the right objects, potions, spells, etc., etc. Of course, a great sorceress is able to improvise here or there, but that is very difficult to do. Sorcery is as precise as nature. One small thing going awry, too much sunlight one day, not enough water the next, one small thing can cause the downfall of a plant, just as it can cause the downfall of a spell."
"I never thought of it like that."
Asta's forehead wrinkled with contemplation.
"Most people haven't, but Kaz has, and it's that attention to detail that gets in the way of her cooking."
"Impossible."
Kaz put her hands on her hips and narrowed her eyes.
"People follow recipes when they cook. I can follow a recipe."
"Ah! Anybody can follow a recipe, dear,"
Ramir said, and he flashed her a sweet smile.
"That doesn't mean you can cook."
Kaz glared harder, and I had to laugh.
"What's so funny? How riled up you are,"
Ira said with a grin.
It's just, your father is right. Anybody can follow a recipe, but it's when you stray from the recipe that the best meals are created.
Spoken like a true cook!
Ramir pointed his knife at me and nodded.
That makes no sense! Recipes are supposed to be the perfect way to make the dish. How can straying from the recipe be a good thing?
And that's why you're not a good cook, dear.
Ramir said softly, and he patted her on the shoulder and picked up the now full pot to carry it over to the fire.
You're a cruel father, you know that?
I'm well aware.
Ramir stepped over Svas and Ufe and put the pot on the fire while we all settled into the room. I found a seat on the sofa and Asta sat next to me, with Inger at the end. Kaas and Ira sat on the sofa across from us, and Ramir moved to his big, comfy chair opposite the fire. The old man smiled as he stared into the flame, and I thought about all he did for us. He joked earlier that he didn't do magic for free, but in all actuality, his services would probably cost far more than we could ever afford, even with all the jewels and coins we'd come into recently. Ramir's talent was unsurpassable. Even Prana had admitted the old man was a better sorcerer than she was, and I could only imagine one day Kaas would be her father's successor. After a while, the scent of Ramir's stew filled the air, and my mouth watered as my stomach growled in response. I was relieved when Ramir stood up and dished us all bowls. I scooped up a big, heaping bite and shoved it into my mouth, only to pause and let out a sigh of contentment. Then my eyes closed as I relished the flavors that filled my mouth. There was squash, onion, garlic, and venison, along with some seasonings I couldn't name immediately. Ah, this was the kind of cooking Ramir had been talking about. No recipe, just him and the food. And it was delicious. I ate quickly, but just before I was done, I heard the familiar sound of Prana's voice. And a second later, Bla ran into the room and directly up to the bowl of stew laid out for him.
Sorry.
Prana chuckled as she walked in.
I let myself back in. I hope that's okay. Well, actually, Bla let us back in. We arrived in your bathroom.
Ah! Well, at least he landed you inside.
Ramir smiled.
Were you able to retrieve the egg?
Right here.
The sorceress said, and she pulled the egg out of a satchel slung over her shoulder. The egg was large enough that it needed to be held with two hands, and it was a brilliant bright white with small silver lines that spread out like veins. It was one of the most beautiful eggs I'd ever seen, and I thought it was no wonder the egg thief had taken it. The creature inside was bound to be rare and beautiful when it hatched.
Ah, good,
Ramir said, and he walked up to Prana, took the egg, and set it on the table next to his cauldron and spellbook. A sudden feeling of terror washed over me, and my chest tightened in response as I instinctively stood up and walked over to the table.
Roth?
Prana asked as I reached out and placed my hand on the egg.
Are you all right?
The terror eased slightly as my hand made contact with the egg, but there was still a sense of confusion and fear. The creature behind the thin protective shell was scared out of its mind, and I had to do something. I had to help him. I can feel it. I can feel the baby inside.